friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com worldwide. I'd like to welcome a friend, John Fitzpatrick. As most of you would probably know, he is not only a well-known hotelier, but a philanthropist and an owner of Fitzpatrick Hotel Group in New York. Born, raised, or dragged up in Dublin. You're very welcome there, John. How are you?
Thank you, Adrian. I was wondering how long more you were going to go on with that one.
No, I figured that's probably enough. Anyway, just as a kid, not only you, but your sisters, your brother, again, your father and mother, with the amazing work ethic, you guys were, you know, in the hotel business, you know, around the time you were going to kindergarten. You knew the business long before you got here.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, we grew up in it. I mean, in the early days, you know, my father was probably a workaholic, but you had to be in those days. He worked every hour you could get. And so we never really only saw him in the mornings before we went to school, and then in the evenings when we came back, and he was gone again that evening. So we hung around the hotels. You want to see your mum and dad, you hung around and the hotels at the weekends. And I actually, we lived in Dublin, but I was in Wexford for the first 13 years. So I want to give a bit of credit to Wexford, as we call ourselves, the Yellow Bellies.
Because
I was down there for the first year and went to the Christian Brothers, and then we moved up to Dublin. Yeah, but we were all involved, and it was a real true family business, because we were all around the hotels all the time, you know.
You know, I can hardly believe that it's now more than 30 years. I believe more than 31, probably 32 by the time that I met you and your father and mother in New York, and you were actually in our studios talking about opening a hotel in New York. And I think if I didn't say it, I can say it now. I thought that was a huge challenge to come into New York City, the city of hotels, and actually start up here. But the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey might say, is historic. And with the opening of the first Irish-owned hotel, then you did the same again. And to this day, you remain the Irish-born owners of two hotels in New York City. A big leap if we go back to that time.
Yeah, you know, it was. I mean, look, it was my father's dream all along. I mean, we got a lot of business from the United States in our Irish hotels and all the tour operators, and my father spent a lot of time in the States, but he always had this dream of having an Irish hotel in the States. And I might have mentioned to you before, he used to come over and say, look at all the Irish bars and restaurants and things like that, but there's no Irish hotel. Now, I think we knew why there was no Irish hotels after we opened, because, to be honest with you, it was a little bit of naive and, you know, and a lot of luck. And again, to credit the people like yourselves, who, when we did come over, I mean, New York was a very big place for us to walk into. And, you know, as we all know, anybody comes over to New York for the first time to get to know people, it takes a while. But I do remember you knocking on the door and asking us over to the studios, and it was a great help to get us going. And like so many other people, but any of the Irish at the time, and
yeah,
I think that's the beauty of the Irish, that they, when somebody comes over, we gather around them and we help them off. And look, that's how we started it and opened the Fitzpatrick Manhattan, would you believe, in 1990, December 1990.
So. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
And I remember opening it, and we had no liquor license, and that was a joke then at the time. An Irish hotel with no liquor license. So we finally got the liquor license in February the following year. So yeah, it was great, and thank God for the support of the Irish and the Irish Americans over here. We got it got us off the ground, but it was tough. There's no doubt about it.
Now, it didn't take you too long, indeed, to establish what is now 28 years, the Paddy and Etna Fitzpatrick Golf Outing Memorial Fund, which has, and each and every year, become so successful. And I think you're looking at $4.5 million dollars that has been raised over that period of time. Again, that was indeed not only historic, but a huge advance in golf outings as we know them. That has nearly comes under the philanthropic aspect of what you've been leading for all those years.
Yeah, look, it was very important for us to set something, because I know my mum passed away very suddenly, and I realised at that time, that Dad was moving along strongly, but everyone thought that Dad had built the hotels with her, but Mum was a big part of it, especially in Ireland, to get it off the ground. And so I just, when she passed away, I said, look, we've got to memorise her some way. And I said it, I think, many times before, that it was probably a bit of a selfish thing at the beginning, was just because I wanted her to be remembered. But when we got into it and then realised the money we were raising and the support we were getting for it, we realised then all the organisations we could help, and then it just took off. And then we never thought we'd be 28 years, especially, this is a very special year, because as we all know, we've been locked down for the last 2.5 years. And, you'd always say to yourself, will we ever be able to back up again? And will people support us? And, it's tough times for certain people. So I have to say, this is our first year back, and it's sold out again. Great support, and great organizations we're supporting as well. So I think it's working out to be very good.
John, the distribution of the funds, if in fact we go to the website, it's just astounding. And for the great causes you have supported, throughout the decades, it's really incredible. To start organizations like the Carmelia Center, the Center for Peace and Reconciliation, to actually go outside, the pale, or to get organizations that are struggling on the way up, and to do what has been done through the Memorial Fund is astonishing, and it's well worth, looking into it. And just to see what has been done. This year, actually a week from Monday, your Memorial Golf outing takes place actually on May the 16th, which is a week from Monday. And as usual, it's in Sleepy Hollow Country Club. And as you have told us, the golfing is, and the players, that's fully booked. But there is an opportunity for those like myself who would hardly know which end of the golf club to hold up. There's the event in the evening still has limited, but you have a few opportunities there for people, or is that sold out as well?
No. Look, we're coming up to, I think we've got one space or two space left in the golf teams. We're just hitting the capacity because I don't want to go too high and then overcrowd the golf course. We want it to be a nice, pleasant day for everybody. But yes, in the evening then, as you know, it's the golf during the day, and then in the evening, we then have guests that arrive around 5 o'clock for a cocktail reception, and they join the golfers, and we all have a sit-down dinner. Again, we have some great supports. Again, Ronan Collins from RT is coming out, Mick McCarthy is coming out, and the famous golfer Eamon Darcy is coming out. So it's just great support, but more importantly is the Irish Americans again, and our Irish here living here have supported us every year, and we're doing it, as you know, for some great causes. I mean, one of the good ones as well this year, which I'm very proud of, is integrated education. We've been supporting that in Northern Ireland now for the last 20 years, and it's great to see now finally the British government and the Northern Ireland Assembly have come out now and supported it as well. And fair dues to Baroness Maidblood. They're going to get it's expanding very, very well. But this year, you know, we also have besides integrated education, we have Barristan and all that. But there was one other organization that just fell by our way, by a bit of luck in a way as well for us, because during the pandemic, the lucky ones that could go home, you know, we all had to quarantine. So, you know, a great friend of mine, Charlie Bird, from RTE at the time, he's now retired, happened to just email me and say, you know, it was very funny. It was on Facebook, and, you know, when we're all sitting at home like, with nothing to do, we're going through the internet, and I never look at my Facebook, and I saw this message from Charlie Bird, who I really knew him as a guest at the hotel, but nothing more than that, and, you know, not really too friendly, but friendly. And so he just said to me, Kim, and he said, Fitz, he says, do you, any of your brothers live in Ashford? And I go, Ashford, County Wicklow? I said, no, none of them do, but I do. And he didn't know. We realized that I had a house a mile away from him. So during COVID and all that, when we did get a chance to go home, we all had to quarantine. So I got to know him really well there, and we used to walk the beach and everything. And Charlie was great. He was retired. He does about 15 miles a day walking with his wife, Claire. And, you know, everything was going great. And then all of a sudden, last June, he got some bad news that he unfortunately has motor neuron, and very sad. So it was an awful shock to him and Claire and to everybody else and to his family.
Yeah.
But, you know, what Charlie did was be positive about it. You know, he was a big shock to begin with, but he then, you know, he decided, well, look, it's no point, you know, moping about it. I have to do something about it. And he ended up trying to raise money for motor neuron, and also a big charity close to him was Pieta House, and so he then decided, look, I'm going to do something. So he ended up, as we all knew over the period, was he decided to climb Croagh Patrick, which we all did on the 2nd of April, I think, or the 3rd of April, and we all made it to the top, and it was Ryan Tuberty, Daniel O'Donnell, so everybody got
him. Yeah.
But it wasn't just Croagh Patrick, it was all over Ireland, and then the same here in New York, a lot of people, you know, the Ashley Irish Centre with Sandra, they raised money. So it actually raised $3 million, and he was over the moon with it, and it's going to build what they call the birdhouse for motor neuron back in Ireland, and Pieta House they're going to donate. So I offered him to come out here for a week because you know, he wants to come for a week holiday, and it just coincided with my golf. And then we said, well, why don't we put our thinking caps on? And then we got involved with Pat McGowan and Solis and Rebecca Shade, and we decided, so I mentioned it to Charlie. I said, Charlie, would you stay a few extra days, come to the golf and see can we help them out here? So it just fell into place, and Charlie is staying out on a few days, and we're going to raise money for this organization out here.
Yeah.
And the beauty about it, Adrian, is that, you know, we're doing it for the Irish here in New York and around, and it's not, all the money's not going back to Ireland. So it's great to support a local organization, you know.
Now, just for clarification, Pieta House in Ireland has raised tons of money, and in fact have many centres throughout the island of Ireland, and it is, you know, for the treatment of depression, severe depression, in many cases leading to suicide, which is which until the establishment of Peel House in Ireland was really not talked about at all. But to bring the mission of Peel House to New York and again to make it easier for people to recognize, you know, what Peel House would be. The name was changed, you know, to Solace House. And it provides free, confidential, therapeutic counseling for anyone who's experiencing suicidal thoughts or suicidal distress, you know, as well as those who engage in self-harm. It's a fantastic organization. And again, as you pointed out, you know, Pat McGowan, who is the chairman, and Rebecca have not only managed to grow the organization, but also to somehow get the funds together. And it is, I can't think of a more worthy charity, you know, than now Solace House here.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, especially after what we've all gone through over the last 2 to 3 years. You know, mm-hmm. people are suffering from depression, or, you know, we all have gone through a crazy 2 years of being separated from people, especially from families and people that lived out here that, unlike myself, who was lucky enough to be able to get back because I had both an American and an Irish visa, but some people couldn't get back because there was no travel, and mm-hmm. that was a big burden on them. So I think it's a great organization, and I think it's a good time to support it.
And they have an office, Solace House, in the New York Irish Center in Queens, and also in Yonkers. Again, it's a great and worthy organization, and I'm delighted that, in fact, that they're being the primary beneficiary of this year's Fitzpatrick Memorial Golf Outing. And thank you, John, for joining us and what you have done through the decades now in not only building awareness, but having, you know, showing us that maybe we're, some of us, at least anyway, have an opportunity to be involved, you know, to some degree in the philanthropic endeavors that you have definitely you've set a very high bar. Again, John, thank you.
Adrian, I just want to say, if you don't mind me saying that, it's not me. I think I want to really highlight our supporters, because I may be able to run a golf outing, but if I didn't have the support from the Irish over here, we wouldn't be raising anything at all. So I think the credit goes to them.
Yeah, well, they have a perfect opportunity and vehicle to raise a lot of money by any standard for the Fitzpatrick Memorial. And actually, the website, fitzpatrickmemorial.org. That's fitzpatrickmemorial.org. And John, again, good luck. We're looking forward to the event itself. Okay?
Great.
Thank you
very much, and I appreciate it. I'll see you next Monday week. Talk to you.
Absolutely. Thank you. And friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com worldwide.